Oh, a long way back to do Proverbs. And so with the Christmas season coming up on and time of the year, I did them right on into the middle part of December. But then, in the middle part of December, I stopped doing them, and I told you I'd come back to them. The Proverbs have a habit of discussing particular subjects. And if you don't know what the subject is, then when you try to interpret the proverb, it's sometimes you get confused. And the ones we're going to take a look at now, as I went through them and grouped them, what they are different proverbs that have to do with the same general subject, each one a slightly different variation of it. Portrait of a fool. What a fool is in himself. Now, some people make a mistake of taking the proverbs, and when they listen to them, they say, oh yeah, that's like old Leonard. Yeah, that's Leonard. That's just the way Leonard is. Or they'll look over at Danny and say, yeah, that's just like Danny is. And they'll go through and they'll say, that's just like Tooney is. Yeah, that's just like he is. And they'll use all these proverbs to see the faults and flaws in other people. But proverbs are really given so that you can examine yourself and ask yourself, am I a fool? And you don't have to tell anybody, because if you'll examine yourself and think about it, these proverbs will let you know whether the Bible considers you a fool or not. And they're really for the individual people. And as you listen to it, if you see yourself, then the purpose of the proverbs is to tell you, you need to change. You need to understand what your problem is. You're a fool in yourself, and you can't see yourself. Now you need to look at yourself. And I'll try to do the same thing as I go through. A fool in his relationship to truth. So we're going to deal with a fool in himself, a fool in relationship to truth, and then we're going to define, in this parable, a fool is one who circulates slander. Now, examine yourself. When you have somebody come up to you, and they'll say, I just love old Kenneth. And you'll say, I do too. And they'll say, I just love old Kenneth. But. And then about an hour later, they will have told you everything that they think is wrong with Kenneth. And they'll slander him. Well, a man that does, that's a fool. I've done that. So I've, not about Kenneth, about Leonard. But you're a fool to do that. Because don't you think people know that you're doing the same thing to them, and that you're talking to them and pointing out to everybody else what's wrong with you? And don't you think that they'll have a hard time ever really being your friend or ever really letting them have any confidence in your life? Because you know they're slandering other people. And so what do you think is going to stop them from slandering you? I've done better in this over the years. And you better learn not to slander people in Dardanelle. I was in a funeral line this afternoon, biggest and longest I've ever seen. My legs almost didn't hold out. But I never saw so many people at a funeral. And in talking to them and knowing them, doing in the community for 33 years, they're all kin to each other. And the last name may be Crow, but they may be kin to the Jacksons, the Joneses. And so let me tell you the best thing to do. Just don't talk about other people. Hard to do, isn't it? Hard to do. I think Imogene will tell you, I'm doing better. I've done better. Because I got my tail burned. You know, even if a fool gets his tail burned, he learns from it. And so I just don't talk much about anything unless I've got something good to say about them. And it's just a little simple rule, and it is in a proverb form. My mother said, don't say anything about anybody unless you can say something nice about them. You know, people are bound to like you if you adopt that principle. So this is a proverb, the first one. A fool is one who circulates slander. He that hideth hatred with lying lips. You ever do that? You just hate somebody. They may have done something to you personally, or to your dog, or to one of your relatives, or your friends, and you absolutely hate them. Ladies, I don't use the same thing bad to you because you're like a vicious snake. We call her Fang One. Yeah, Leonard and I call her Fang One, and we call Imogene Fang Two. You better be careful around women because you're worse than we are at this. You all just don't like each other, and you can be around you, and you'll just be hugging each other and squeezing each other and loving each other, and us poor old men, we don't know any better. It's like we're out on a hunting trip. We hug and squeeze each other. We like each other. We hunt together. And we just think we're pretty good old boys. And, you know, we don't do a lot of stuff like that. But men are just as guilty as women. But you all will just cover it up something fierce. So will we. I'm not knocking you personally. But if you go along and you just hate somebody, and you just in public and around them, you just eat them up like you love them to death, and then the next day, the person that was there, you cut them up with a double pair of scissors and then twist what you've cut up. So do we. Well, how do you think those people that are there that saw you do that, how do you think they're not going to think that you do the same thing to them? You may not. It's a simple thing. You just Don't lie. Don't butter them up a lie. Be nice to them. But don't tell them how much you love them and how much you respect them. And then the next time that you're not around them, you just chop them up like liver. So a man's a fool that hides his hatred with lying lips. So what's the key? Just don't lie. I can be real nice to somebody that I don't like. And if I'm real nice to them, it just might happen that they might be real nice back to me, and I might get to know them well enough to realize that my judgment in the first place was wrong. So a man's a fool if he does this. Don't say you've never done this. I've done it. But hopefully, I'm getting better at it. He that uttereth a slander is a fool. And it really is. Because what does it accomplish? Other people think he's slandering them when they're not around, and it hurts him. And then if it gets back to the person that he slandered, chances are that person's going to slander him. And you just end up in all kinds of trouble. It's such a simple little thing. You know, the truth is, and being nice to people, is it's a simple thing, but because of our own inner nature, and wanting to justify ourselves, we don't think about the consequences of what we do. And it's like we've just got a little voodoo doll of ourselves, and we're just punching holes in ourselves when we think we're punching holes in others, and it's changing people's opinions of us. And I like people I can be around, but I just don't feel like they're cutting me up or skinning me like a chicken to be fried. I don't like to be around people like that. And so I try not to be like that myself. I don't want to be a fool. I am a fool by birth. But there's no reason that I can't learn not to be a fool. A fool is one who misuses truth when he gets hold of it. Proverbs 26:7. You can know the truth about something. You can preach the truth. You can know the truth. And you can misuse it. A preacher is most guilty of misusing it when he wants to hurt a person in the congregation that he knows doesn't like him, and he'd just as soon see them somewhere else. So he may tell the truth about a particular thing and know that that person is guilty of the thing that this truth will reveal, so that he can bring him down and lift himself up. And that is a very dangerous game to play. But this proverb is interesting, the way it's put. The legs of the lame are not equal. Well, what does that have to do with a person misusing truth? Well, if you've got one short leg, and this one's a little bit shorter than this one, what's going to happen is, you're going to favor this one. And you're going to have to try to balance yourself with that short leg. And it's very hard for you to walk a straight line, because you're either going to be pulled over to the right, depending on which leg is shorter, or over to the left. And you can't take a parable and get the straight truth out of it. You take the truth and you use it off-center from what it means to your advantage. The same thing is true if you've got a weak leg. One leg is weaker than the other. If this leg is weak, I think you're supposed to use the cane on this one, or on this one. And you have to learn how to balance with a cane, or you're not doing yourself or other people any good. And it will cause you to walk in the wrong direction. In other words, you'll interpret the parable in such a way that you take the truth and you misapply it in such a way that you can continue on a path that's not right, because you only interpret the part of the parable to suit your preconceived ideas. And you're supposed to study the Word of God to show yourself approved, and you're supposed to let it say to you what it says without changing the direction of it in your favor. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. He doesn't apply it equally. He shifts it in the direction of his own weakness, and he tries to use it to point out the weakness in others, but he shifts it such that his own weakness does not appear to be weakness, but he finds it in their life, but not in his. That man's a fool. Why? He's not going to live forever. And he's going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to be judged by the Word of God. And these proverbs are given to make you look at yourself, see your own imperfection, and say, now you know, do something about it. Well, how do you do something about it? You submit yourself to God. How do you submit yourself to God? You ask God to give you wisdom, discernment, and understanding. You ask God to help you understand what the Bible says, and ask him to give you the courage and the strength when you discover an error in your own way of life. Ask him to help you to correct it. And once you know it exists, keep on trying to correct it. And when you fail, keep on asking him for forgiveness. But some people that are saved wander through lives like fools. Forgive me, I mean you no disrespect. We, myself included, are all fools. Now, how big a fool do you want to be? Well, that depends on how much God reveals to you of yourself in the Bible, and how much you take what he reveals and ask him to help you to try and change it, and to keep on working on it till the day you die. That's one of the reasons God put the church down here. For Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's what we're doing right now. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So these proverbs, no matter how antiquated they may seem to be, are things that help me in life. And when I have to look all these words up and pray about it, and ask God to help me to understand it, and what it meant in the original languages, it affects me. And I say, you know, I'm going to try not to just hide my hatred with lying lips. I'm just not going to hate anybody. And I'm certainly not going to hate them with lying lips and tell them how much I love them when I'm having a real struggle we're trying to just treat them nice. And he that uttereth a slander is a fool. I'm not going to slander people. So if I'll do that, I won't be as big a fool as I was before I started trying to change. And that's true with all of us. These are simple things, and you say, well, everybody knows that. Yeah, but do you know it the way that God looks at it through His Word? Proverbs 26:9. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard. Most of you probably have never been drunk. Some of you have. In North Africa, I've been drunk. And that's no... I'm ashamed of it. But I was drunk. And if there had been a thorn on the table, and I'd stuck my hand down on it, that thing would have gone through my hand, and I would not even have felt it. You can get so pickled on rum, and whiskey for that matter, you can get so pickled, and it can pull such a delusionary effect on your mind, like the old expression, the man knows no pain. He's drunk. So what does that mean? That means he doesn't understand anything that's happening. He's in a state where he's in his own world, and he has no awareness of the pain that's going through his hand when a thorn goes through it. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. A man who doesn't realize how much pain and anguish is going to be generated in his own life when he makes himself a thorn to other people, and in the church itself has no idea what a fool he is when he takes the teaching of God and doesn't apply it to his own life. He's insensitive to what God wants in his life. He's insensitive for God's purpose in his life. And by God's standard, he's a fool. And so, don't get so intoxicated with the ways of the world and your own personal desires, what you want, and your desires. Don't get so intoxicated by them that you are insensitive to your conduct and the effect that it has on other people. Be sensitive to the needs of other people. Now, these parables aren't just a bunch of jumbled up words. They were written by the second wisest man who ever lived, at least many of them. Some by David, some by Solomon. They're short, they're simple, to the point, but they have a meaning that affects the heart. And God wants you not to use them to identify faults in others, but to identify faults in yourself. A fool and his relationship to sin. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief. Well, we're all born fools by comparison to God's will for our life, because we're born carnal, sold under sin. And so from God's standpoint, when he considers us and the way we think and the way we act and the things we do, I guess we could call ourselves a ship of fools. But the question that God wants us to answer is, would we like to change and be less of a fool in God's eyes and more of a child that he could look at and say, that's my child. That's my child. So he could look at us and in his own self, no pleasure, because we're learning how not to be fools. Now, when he talks about it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. When I was young, I'm not going to tell you everything I did. Imogene would skin me alive when I got home. She said, you're doing that right in front of our kids. Well, I'll tell you about a little simple thing. We would grease the streetcar tracks with soap every Halloween all over town. And those poor people would be trying to get back and forth from downtown out to their homes in the rural areas. Old people, widows, old men like myself that couldn't hardly get around. People that had jobs, worked hard all day, wanted to go home. And these streetcars wouldn't be able to get up the hill. And they'd have to send back to the head shed in Little Rock and get sand to put up there. Well, when they started putting the sand on the streetcars on Halloween where they could dish it out, the fun didn't last as long. And we were hated. We hated it. We didn't like it. We were mad. We didn't think about those poor old people. Never even crossed our mind. We just wanted the fun of watching those streetcars not be able to get up the hill. And we used to hide down underneath the viaduct. And we'd shake the line on the streetcar after they got those in. And it would cause the thing to come off, and the poor old streetcar man, most of them were old and fat like me. They'd have to get out and go back there and work and getting on. You say, that's awful. I thought it was fun. I was a fool. At the time, it's just more fun than the Battle of Monkeys. And we'd get mad anytime something would happen where they would ruin our fun. Well, now I'm sorry. But if I had been faithful in church, and I had thought about the effect that my mischief was having on those people, it never crossed my mind. Why? I was a fool. You know what I needed? Somebody to catch me and wear the backside of my britches off. But my mother had to work, because Dad abandoned us when I was 8. And I just didn't have any real discipline. Everything I ever did was because I loved my mother, and she could always get me to stop that way. But I didn't have any discipline. That's why God gave the law. And that's why children need to be disciplined. And if you think that you don't love your children when you discipline, you're making the biggest mistake of your life. Because they're born fools. I was. So are all children. They're not born with holy natures. And as they grow older, if you don't spat their hand every once in a while, Kenneth, no matter how pretty and wonderful they are, they don't grow up and be monsters. You've got to do it. And no matter how much you don't want to. If somebody had done that to me, you know what I would have done? I'd have quit doing it. And after I quit doing it, I'd have felt real good about it. Because it would mean that by not doing that again, I wouldn't get any more spankings. And I would have stopped being a fool. There's two ways to stop somebody from being a fool. Solid law enforcement. Arrest them. Put them in jail. Leave them there until they get the message. Make them pay the price. And then they won't think it's sport anymore. God gave the law for people that were born fools. And we're all born fools. And if your mother spanked you when you were growing up, it was because she didn't want you to be a fool. And some people, when they hear me talk about this, they just get all mad inside because they have no sense of obedience and they have no idea what it is, and they are proud and haughty and have a personality that is impossible to live with because they don't understand that God told you to do something because He knew what was right. And men don't. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. I could have been a man of understanding a lot quicker if I'd have had somebody to apply paddle to my britches more often. You know what? I was a good kid in school. You know why I was a good kid in school? Because if I didn't do something right, I'd get paddled. That's why I was a good kid in school. But I wasn't a good kid out in the general public, because I had a strip down that could outrun any police town and car, any police car in town. And I did. And I delighted in outrunning them. And it was fun. It was sport to do mischief. And I was a fool. Well, that's the only way a man is going to change. He's going to have to come to understand that he's going to have consideration for the rest of the people. And if he ever comes to understand that, and it sinks in, and he has respect for other people, it'll be to his benefit, because they'll have more to do with him. They'll like him. Nothing is worse in a community than a child that was raised without discipline. Because if a child is raised without discipline, he is a terror to the community, and the parent can't understand why he spends all his time in jail. Because I raised him, and I loved him, and I never thought he would turn out like this. Don't blame God. If you're going to blame somebody, blame yourself. It is as sport to do with mischief. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. Well, I've got understanding now. And I've got wisdom. You say, where'd you get it? God tells us we can ask for three things. Understanding, discernment, and wisdom. You say, well, I think I'll start asking God for that. Here's what he'll lead you to. You raise your children by that book. You raise your children by this book. And you're going to dispense discipline to them. And maybe part of the problem that a lot of parents have is they didn't have discipline themselves when they were raised up. And they were rebellious with a haughty spirit. And they wonder why people don't particularly like to be around them. Because they're haughty. And they're arrogant, and they don't want God to tell them how to raise their children. They're perfectly capable of doing it themselves. Thank you very much. And messages like I'm presenting this morning, this afternoon, tonight, whenever it is, they don't want to hear it. Because that rebellion from their childhood stays there with them all their lives. And they remain fools. Well, you want to stay in that condition? Don't get mad at me. Get mad at God. Get real mad at him and tell him that you don't think any of this stuff is right. And raise your children just the way you want. And if you pray hard enough, God will help you, won't he? No. Not unless you raise them with that book. I don't mean beat them to death. And I don't mean spank them all the time. But make them suffer the consequences of their actions, or you're a fool. It's that simple. Proverbs 13:9. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Have you got a particular sin in your life that maybe nobody knows about but you and God? Or have you got a sin that you're guilty of and it just keeps hanging on and hanging on? You fight against it, you give in to it. And you know it's there. And then as time passes, you have a desire. And you want to avoid that. And you ask God, Lord, help me not to do that again. Help me not to get mad again. Help me not to get angry again. Help me not to say that again. Help me not to think that again. Help me not to carry this desire I have to fruition. And then you go through a tremendous day of temptation, mate. And for some reason, and it surprises even you, you overcome it. God overcomes it. And you walk away from it. And you're surprised. And you say, man, this is sweet. This is great. You know what a fool is? a fool at somebody than when he is able to do that. It's an abomination to him. Because he wanted to go ahead and do it. And he or she missed the satisfaction of doing it. And they didn't get it to carry it to the full fruition. And they don't like it. That's a fool. When Christ in me leads me away from evil, and my soul, by the power of Christ within me, scores a victory over one of my desires, that's sweet to my soul. But I used to be a fool. And I don't always depart. But I used to be a complete fool. Because it was an abomination to me not to be able to carry out what I wanted for the fullness that would give me satisfaction. So this describes what a fool is. Now the Lord doesn't make you any promise that these proverbs are any magic wand, but they are the truth. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. I had 2 sons, still do. I could say something to Tommy, and I've told you this before, and I'd just look at him like this. I'd say, "Son," and big old tears start coming down his cheek. He knew he was caught. He knew he'd done wrong. He repented of his sins, turned from his wicked ways, and they all lived happily ever after until the next sin. Michael, I could beat Michael to death with a bolter. I could whip him with many stripes. But Michael was not a wise man. And Michael didn't become a wise man until I left him in the jug. And I left him in there. Because you must teach that you are going to suffer the consequences of your action. He could take spankings by the score, but to be put in a jail was different. You say, "You don't love your son." Yes, I do. I knew what he'd be exposed to. They've got homosexuals in those places, if you don't know about it, gays. And they're in there trying to get you to turn around so they can have sex with you. And poor old Michael was in there. And they were all over him. And it just about, he came out of it. And later on, down the road, he said, "Dad, that was the best thing you ever did for me." Because he said it was something that changed my life and turned me around. And I'll tell you what happened to him. He had to face the consequences of his action, and Mom and Dad weren't there to bail him out. Now, some of you might say, "You didn't love him." I loved him very much. But if you love a child, there comes a time where you have got to let the child suffer the consequences of his action, because you do love him. And some people look upon jail and punishment in it as a bad thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. Because if it weren't for that, we would have long since reached Sodom and Gomorrah. And I don't usually get off on this subject, and it's 2 minutes till. So it's time to quit. So I hope you'll look at those proverbs.